Welcome to Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. Glenn Weldon and I sat down with Barry Hardiman and Kat Chow to talk about our favorite food television, why we love Top Chef, whether cooking shows make you a better cook, and the show that makes one of us consider putting underwear on a tomato. We're bringing you an encore show today about one of our favorite genres, the cooking show, so stick around.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Starbucks. Introducing new Starbucks Plus Coffee K-Cup Pods. The coffee that keeps up with you. With twice the caffeine compared to one pod of Starbucks K-Cup coffee, it's an extra boost to help you make the most of your day. Available in Starbucks Blonde, Medium, and Dark Roast K-Cup Pods for the rich taste you love. Look for new Starbucks Plus Coffee where you buy groceries.
Welcome back. I want to start with Barry. Barry, are you a food show person?
I am such a food show person, which is amazing because, not amazing, I think it's probably, this may be common for you, but I don't cook. I'm not a cook, but I think it's an extension of my love of reading cookbooks. And I'm a huge Top Chef almost every season. I don't think I've missed a season. Yeah. I feel like maybe there was
one that I missed
in a move.
Masters and All-Stars included?
Not all the Masters, but all the All-Stars.
Did you watch Top Chef Just Desserts?
I occasionally will dig into that. If I've gone through all the Top Chefs and it's on the Comcast,
the streaming,
or excuse me, the streaming, whatever. But the thing that I really enjoy about it is that, A, I'm a Padma fan.
Right.
I love her.
She's great.
Oddness. I love her chilly demeanor that occasionally will blossom into warmth and a piece of information that says, I actually know about food, which is a thing,
and not just
these jumpsuits,
right.
Which I really,
appreciate,
as you know, because I am kind of the jumpsuit editor of NPR.
But you're right about the chilliness. There is something she's holding back, but her voice is always so luxurious.
Like hair.
Caramel.
So that is wonderful. And then I just love the odd characters. I love how you know that at least once an episode, somebody's going to say, I'm doing it for Zoe.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for my mom.
Of course.
You know, and that's like a moment where it's like,
that's who's gonna get eliminated.
Exactly. And you like turn and you're like, this is your going home at the end of this, or you're gonna have like a come from behind win, and you know, after you cut your finger off while slicing an eggplant.
Right.
You know, I look forward to the mise en place. Restaurant wars is a thing
I get really excited about.
I get the right food for before I sit down.
Yeah.
I love it. So Top Chef is its own category. But I will also say I have been watching Chef's Table.
Yes. And it's beautifully
done. I now realize. And it's beautifully done. It's almost too beautifully done, would you say, maybe?
Have you seen
in this way that, like, sometimes the food is so lovingly photographed that it seems like a parody of itself, where it's like, is this camera going to go around this entire tomato in such a way that I wish the tomato had underpants on? You know what I mean? Like, it can get real crazy. And then there is this, and I know I have to stop talking about this at some point, but the difference between the male and the female chefs on Chef's Table is so much fun to watch, and then also maddening, in that the male chefs are just like, I don't know, I just wanted to create something. I just felt like so creative, and it was a thing that I was into. And then the female chefs are like, well, yes, I had to, you know, in my country, I had to, and in this country, I had to fight against all of the, you know, oppression.
Sure.
And in general,
really hard for
what's
me.
Amazing is that the female chefs kind of don't talk about it very much. You know, they're just in there slicing.
Right.
And I wanted to play, because just so that you get an idea, because I don't think Chef's Table is so much the juggernaut that Top Chef is, just so you get a flavor of the epitome of the male chef. I wanted to play this clip of, this is Francis Mallmann from Patagonia, and he's talking about, he has many children. The most recent is this adorable, I think she's Heloisa, little girl from who's about 2.5, and he's talking about his relationship with her mother.
Love is one of the most difficult things in life, certainly the most beautiful one. It's difficult, I think, that living together, it destroys passion. And I hate all this thing of the faithfulness. Part of us, we are animals in some sort of a way, and there's a beauty in that.
I am a person who, I think you can create a family any way you want, but his entire cuisine is really created on this, I must be free.
Yeah.
To be an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, in the meantime, you have this lady who's living with you 10 days for a year and doing all the childcare. And but you also get a sense of how, you know, you have like the undertone of the music and he is love. Mm-hmm. It is certainly one of the most beautiful.
It's very dramatic.
So is
we're
the
an
steak.
Animal. It's very dramatic.
So, Kat, you watch HGTV shows. Do you watch food shows?
I do. I watch a lot of variety too. I actually don't have a favorite, but the most recent kick that I've been on is, you know, know, the more traditional style of Barefoot Contessa. And then also in that same afternoon block, Pioneer Woman, which is basically the same show, but set on that huge...
No Jeffrey.
Yeah, no Jeffrey, but, you know, the other guy's name on their enormous farm. Mm-hmm. And I really like the shows recently where the host is trying to create a series of meals for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
Because there's something nice and very compartmentalized about that. The other question that I wanted to pose to you guys is, what happened to Alton Brown? Because I remember growing
up,
a
big deal, yeah.
One of my favorite shows was watching Good Eats, where I would watch that show to learn so much about like the science of cooking or like how to crack an egg.
I said
properly.
Molecule all the time when I was watching that show.
I felt like it was really an instructional show, and it felt, I mean, wacky and kind of like a Bill Nye-ish equivalent.
I agree.
And I always looked forward to it because I knew that it was just going to kind of
teach
change,
you something. Change
how I thought about something. And now he's kind of been going off onto that cutthroat kitchen thing where it's the wacky.
I was gonna say, he's still a big deal. He's just
a different big deal. He's a different type of big deal.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily bad. It's personally not my taste, but his competition shows have veered off from the kind of more, you know, normal Chopped where you get these mystery ingredients to ones where he puts you in situations where it's like summer camp themed and you're cooking on a canoe in the lake and maybe you have to dress up as a bear or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like he's doing less work though. He's in the host mode as opposed to he was 100% of that show of Good Eats. I mean, you could tell he was involved. He was a producer. He was,
writing,
he was on camera
the whole thing.
The time. It, you know, I think that's what he promoted himself upwards, I think is what he did. I watch Top Chef, Masters, and All-Stars. I'm aware of Chopped's work. I've seen a couple Iron Chefs. Good Eats, of course. But for me, these shows, I feel a distance to them that I feel that I don't feel with other reality competitions. The only other two reality competitions I watch are Drag Race and Project Runway. And there, because they are purely visual, right? Drag Race is performance, and I don't know anything about drag. I don't know anything about fashion, but I have an opinion. That's the Weldon family crest. I don't know anything, but I have an opinion. And I feel like I can engage with it in a way that I can't immediately engage with a show about food because all I can tell is what it looks like, which is why I think on the shows like Top Chef, the judges assume such a central importance.
I think that's right.
Your
they
entire
must be
experience.
Able to describe it. You are in their hands.
Description. That's exactly right, Barry. They must be able to not just say it's good. They must be able to at least evoke the experience and say something specific. This is why Tom Colicchio is so good. And a guy who doesn't get a lot of shout-outs, he deserves. He is such a personality is Hugh Atchison, right?
The guy. Hugh Atchison's good.
Hugh Atchison is so funny and friendly, but judgmental. When he's on screen describing something and describing why he's disappointed in something, I feel connected to those shows in a way that I just don't necessarily feel with something like Chopped or another show, especially Iron Chef, where it's just people saying people who don't necessarily have a lot of training in food offering opinions the way I would offer an opinion, which is not knowing anything.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're right that the judges in Top Chef take on that special importance because it matters enormously whether you trust them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I look at Project Runway, exactly for the reasons that you're saying, it doesn't really matter that much whether I agree with whoever it is, with whoever the judge is. And that's kind of why they can have these rotating guest judges who really cares.
Yeah.
On Top Chef, I do think you're anchored by those main judges, by Padma, who I think people have really kind of come to understand, knows a lot about food. And Colicchio, and I will say, Stephen Thompson, who would normally be on this show but is out this week, Stephen and I, when we were in L.A., treated ourselves to dinner at Colicchio's restaurant, Kraft. That was a good dinner.
Yep.
It was very good food, and even more, you could understand where his frustration with people who don't do good service and people who don't care about guests comes from, because you feel when you're in that place, and it costs a lot, right? You pay for it. But you feel when you're in that place almost like a guest at someone's house.
Right.
You are so catered to and you are so attended to, and there are so many nice little touches. Like at the end, they brought us these little packets of granola. Just like to take with you.
Wow.
Just like a little thing. It's labeled Kraft. You take it with you. Later you put it on some yogurt. It was really good.
And you remember your wonderful meal.
It's just, it's unnecessary little touches like that. With him, I trust him so much because, and I did before, but I find that now that I've been to that place, I even more have that feeling of like he's serious about this. Mm-hmm. He knows. But if you follow him on Twitter, you know that he's also very serious about hunger issues and mm-hmm. a bunch of other stuff that he's very passionate about.
He's very serious, period.
One show I really want to give honorable mention to, because for exactly the reason that we were just talking about in terms of describing food, is Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern. He is so wonderful. Another really enthusiastic, charismatic guy. And his Bizarre Foods is that you go around the world and you mm-hmm. eat the weirdest thing. His gift for describing texture, you know, the way it feels when it's in your mouth, the kind of smell it has, the good and the bad about it. And this is not a judging show. This is more of a, you know, we're taking you around
travel
the world.
Log,
exactly. Kind of show. So it's, in general, he is always going to find something good about it. But in this way of like, I remember there's this great line where he walks into a cheese shop in France and he says, the feet of God. You know, I mean, he has
such a
gift for, you know, the murky flavors of this or the dirtiness of that, you know, just a real gift.
Yeah, I will represent for a bunch of different shows that are clearly too low class for most of you people.
No.
I watch a lot of Chopped, watched a lot of Chopped. Chopped is a really fun show, which resembles the way I actually cook at home more than maybe any other show, for real. And there's some truth to the fact that Chopped is really good for learning, like, you can take any sweet thing and use it as a sweet thing.
Or
you can take a salty thing and it plays the same role as another salty thing. I actually think those are valuable lessons for more improvisational kinds of cooks. And I am a reasonably good improvisational cook in terms of putting something together that I like. And I believe that my long history of watching Chopped, but also watching whether it's, you know, Rachel Ray or Barefoot Contessa or Pioneer Woman or whatever these shows are, I do think they have made me more confident about being like, you would put this with this. You would not put this with this over here. I have watched a lot of Hell's Kitchen, although I freely acknowledge that is not for learning about food.
Mm-mm.
That is just for seeing people yell at each other and hearing,
and you like Gordon Ramsay.
Hearing Gordon Ramsay come up with ways to describe things. The famous, this looks like Gandhi's flip-flop description, which is terrible in a bunch of ways, but was quite a line. And I think his most popular show right now is MasterChef Junior, which a lot of people, including me, really, really have enjoyed the way he works with kids. And there are a bunch of, there's also a Chopped Junior. And
it's cool to see Gordon Ramsay kind of play that softer role because he is so good at that.
He's very sweet with them.
So speaking of kind of more inspirational shows, one show that I really love that's on CNBC that I watched a lot kind of early this year is Restaurant Startup, would come on kind of like
that.
Right after Shark Tank, which is another show
I
love.
It's a Shark Tank type show.
Yeah, where basically you have two people who are competing at first to pitch their restaurant startup idea to these wealthy investors, also restaurant types who are very embedded in the food industry. And then it's like the typical, you start your restaurant, we give you X amount of money and go do it. There's something about watching these people who haven't had a chance to like get that kind of capital before, get a real chance. And I don't know how real that show is or how fake it is or whatever. I don't really want to know for this one, but I like seeing all those business plans because it kind of makes me think like, oh, I could open a food truck.
Sure. Well, and speaking of food trucks, I think I would shout out the great food truck race, which just started up again, which Glenn talked about long ago.
Coming back, a show about parking.
As Glenn pointed out, often a show about parking, but a show that I like. And there used to be one that was sort of similar to that that was called something like The Next Great American Restaurant. I can't remember what it was, but people would, similar to what Kat was describing, people would come in and describe a restaurant concept. The only thing I remember about that show was that there was a grilled cheese restaurant and it didn't win. And I thought that was ridiculous. Obviously,
that is ridiculous.
I wanted a grilled cheese restaurant. Again, we have scratched the surface of cooking shows.
Right.
There is a
many.
Whole world of PBS. Somebody is going to write me a very angry email if I don't say Julia Child. Obviously, Julia Child. There is a long, beautiful history of PBS cooking shows. There's a long, beautiful history of lots and lots of kinds of stuff. Tell us about your favorite food and cooking shows and all the things that you've learned to make by watching them. And that brings us to the end of the show. You can follow Barry on Twitter at @BHardiman and Kat Chow at @KatChow. We'll see you back here on Friday when NPR Music takes over for a rundown of the songs of the summer. We'll see you then.
Gregory Warner here to tell you about NPR's new international podcast. It's called Rough Translation. Each week, we're going to take you to a different country to hear a story that reflects back on something that we are talking about here in the United States. Maybe get a perspective shift. Travel with us. Rough Translation is on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.